This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
Yes, so on the Green Desk today, Mitchell talked to the people behind Good Nature Traps about new developments in pest control and all of that. Yes, they are, of course, a developer of different kind of pest control methods, including a new one that's been developed, which Mitchell will touch upon in the interview. Trapping seems to be a rather contentious issue. Many people see it as a form of animal cruelty to some extent. However, a lot of people do recognize, or do still recognize, the benefits of trapping to the New Zealand environment. Indeed, Mitchell, as I said, talked to Good Nature and their technical expert, Sam Gibson. They discussed the biggest rollout to date after the Ngā Whenua Rahui funded 360 traps in the Mangaroa Ohotu Covenant within the Raukumara Ranges. Good Nature have quickly become one of the most effective traps for pests in Aotearoa, and they were chosen to protect the recently translocated kōkako in the area. Mitchell began by asking Sam a bit about the project and their partnership with Ngā Whenua Rahui.
This is the largest Ngā Whenua Rahui project that Good Nature has been involved with. So Ngā Whenua Rahui have extensive projects across the country, and Good Nature has multiple smaller networks as well done with Ngā Whenua Rahui, or they've utilised our gear. And this project is obviously the biggest and most exciting of those.
So Ngā Whenua Rahui has funded 360 of your traps. What's this sort of spec we're looking at there? Like, I know all the new kōkako have been translocated there. How many kōkako are there?
I think, from what I can remember, there's 15 breeding pairs. I mean, it's pretty incredible to have them there in the Raukumara Ranges. It's pretty special for us. I come from Gisborne, so it's just over the hill.
It's pretty
unique to have those guys being looked over in the Raukumara.
I know there's had a covenant on it for a long time, and it's had a lot of other indigenous species. What's sort of the trend? Have they been having a lot of issues with predators and pests there now? And then the kōkako, they've just said, all right, let's do it.
Historically, they have introduced the kōkako population, and they had been managing that kōkako population with the support of a bunch of different predator control methodologies, hey? And they were doing really well for a while. And now they've just seen newer technology come on the market, and they've seen the success stories that Good Nature has gained through these methodologies. I guess that they've also seen the reduction in man hours that's needed to achieve that success. Yeah. So they've kind of figured, so we want to achieve great results, but how can we free our people up to do more? You know, we're all heading towards this predator-free 2050 goal, and there's a whole lot more of the Raukumara that needs to be looked after. You know, Ngā Whenua Rahui are doing an incredible job with their chunk there, but there's so much more that all of us are really interested in looking after. So it's about freeing people up, freeing man hours up, and also getting great results.
So how does the actual Good Nature Trap do that? Like, why is it so effective? Why is it...
Well, it's incredibly unique, really. So it's gas-powered, it's CO2-powered, and it can kill 24 animals before it needs to be serviced. So you couple this incredible trap that can kill 24 animals before it needs to be serviced with a long-life lure. And so this long-life lure, it is pushing out fresh lure over a period of up to 6 months, you know. So you're having to do maybe two checks a year. Whereas with historical trapping methodologies, for snap traps, for example, you'd have to be doing two weekly or monthly checks. So you're going from 24 or 12 checks a year down to just two. So as you can imagine, it frees you up to look after a huge amount of land, you know.
When it comes to trapping, is there like a methodological approach? Like, do you look for certain areas? Like, do you guys sort of do an analysis of the land and go from there?
as conservationists, we do. So kōkako, they live traditionally higher up on the ridges and spurs. So we support them by putting in place rat networks around those ridges and spurs. For fio, you know, fio, they live in the rivers. So we support them by putting a stoat network up the rivers, which looks after them really well. So there is a huge amount of strategy that goes into putting in these networks and establishing these networks, and that relies on people such as they have with Ngā Whenua Rahui that have these skill sets to be able to establish these networks.
This is probably something I should have asked at the start. I know it's been funded, but has the rollout begun, or is that still in the works?
Oh, absolutely. So we did that a couple of weeks ago, and we did that with Ngā Whenua Rahui. There was an incredible turnout. People came from all over the region to help lay out these traps, and it was a great day. We had a couple of really nice sunny days, and it was a great opportunity for people to learn from each other. I definitely learned a great deal there. There's some incredible local knowledge, and it's an incredible contractor model they run. If people aren't sure what Ngā Whenua Rahui do, they should look into it more closely. It's cutting edge. It's where I see conservation going in the future.
Can only agree with that. If all things go well, a trap will produce 24 bodies, right? What happens then? Are you guys at all afraid of larger predators coming in, feral cats and whatnot, and taking the corpses? Is that another issue? And then sort of drawing those predators in there?
It doesn't seem to be the case, eh? So our traps, they kill rats and stoats, which are the two main predators in these remote backcountry areas. And so rats will actually scavenge upon other dead rats, and they'll have a feed of that before they come back to the trap and go up inside it and get killed. And same with stoats. And possums will scavenge rats and stoats, etc., and then go up inside a possum trap. So oftentimes we've seen video footage of rats just climbing over each other to get up inside the traps, and same with stoats. So it doesn't seem to be an issue.
Yep.
Oftentimes the local pig will come along and he'll learn your lines, and he'll walk your line, and he'll just stop off at each trap getting a feed. So it doesn't seem to draw predators in from the outside as such, although you're always going to get you're going to get some reinvasion as well. But that's the importance of establishing a constant control network. So these networks are constantly available because they can kill multiple animals. They're constantly available to manage that reinvasion, which you don't see with too many other networks, just because the need to service them more frequently.
Yeah, of course. And so are these working in conjunction with a whole lot of other elements as well, like other traps or hunting or anything like that as well?
Absolutely. So this is another tool in the toolbox up there. There is a wider rat network, and they're using other possum methodologies as well. So this definitely complements what they are doing up there, and adds another layer of control for the bird species up there.
Oh, that's wicked. And are these starting to be adopted all over? Like, is Doc sort of looking at these? And
absolutely. Anywhere there's rats and stoats, these tools are being taken up. So I've just got out of Martins Bay in the Holyfield Valley,
yep,
where the Holyfield Conservation Trust have been putting in a grid of 500 traps around the recently released South Island Duck Robin. And so that's another extremely remote example, and we've just got traps going into Moreri Scenic Reserve, which is around a hot pools complex. So we're seeing things from the front country to the back country, people's houses, people's warehouses, from an urban setting right through to the most remote setting in Fiordland. And internationally as well, you know, people are taking up this gear for mongoose and mink and all sorts of other conservation issues internationally.
I think that's about all the questions I've got. Do you want to add anything else?
It's incredibly encouraging to see a whole lot of community groups, a whole lot of private conservationists, along with the larger organisations, taking charge of their piece in the jigsaw puzzle.
That's awesome, man.
A lot of conservation happening now, and it's incredible to watch.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Mauriora.